Well, good morning, friends. Nice to see you all here today. Beautiful day to come and gather. A little foggy out there, but that's okay. We're just grateful to be here and joining and worshiping the Lord today. Welcome to our friends that are joining us online this morning. We're glad you're with us. Kids, you're free to go off to children's church this morning if you so desire. Now's the time. You know, each and every Sunday we have guests that are here with us, and I see there's a few here again today, so I just thank you for coming and joining us. A special thank you to our guests. In case you don't know me, I'm Pastor Casey, and Jim and I are just glad that you're here with us this morning. But here's the thing, whatever brought you here today, for whatever reason, I believe nobody is here by accident. I believe we're supposed to be here, and we should be honoring and giving praise to the Lord as we're here. On Sundays, it's common for us to come together and not only here at church, but in our cities, in our states, in our country, and even the world. If you think about it, the whole world is separating, setting aside today to worship God. If you put your kind of grasp that idea, it's really mind-blowing. But that's what's going on around the world. It started at sometime last night for them, and here we are this morning. So we're just going to build off that wonderful time we spent in worship this morning to build off that, to dive into His Word and see what He has for us. So I'm excited about that today. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 again. We left off, we did verses 3 through 6 last week. We're going to read verses 3 through 14. We're doing something a little bit different. Miss Love, come on up here. The board and through our church revitalization, we're trying to figure out ways, how do we get our youth a little more involved each and every Sunday? And this is one way we've come up with. Our children are quite capable to read some scripture, and what a better way on a Sunday morning than to hand them the mic and let them read the scripture to us as we can put it in their hearts. So that's Miss Love was brave enough to step up here this morning for our first go around. So I'm going to hand her the mic. She's going to read us Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. We're in the New King James. It'll also be up on the big screen.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasures of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Him, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Love. We have to read that scripture in whole, because that's one continual sentence in the Greek. That whole 3 all the way through 14, it's one idea, it's one thought, so we have to read that in full. Last week we just got through 3 through 6, but we read it in whole for that reason, and today we're actually going to get through the whole thing. We're going to have to get going, but we'll get through the whole thing, and we're going to talk about these blessings that God has given us. We talked last week that God is actually blessed by us, and He gives us every spiritual blessing, and we turn around and we give Him praise and glory through that, which honors Him or blesses Him. We discussed that last week. We talked about election. We talked about that we were created to glorify God in our lives and in everything that we're doing. Us who believe, the whole creation was put together for that. This overarching, incomprehensible plan of redemption was put into play before the foundations of the earth to bring a lost and dying world back to himself. We discussed all that. That was last week. This week, we're going to move forward. We're still going to be in verse 3. That's our main focus. But we're going to go through 14. It's going to unpack that. And it says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ? It could say, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Or he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. But that's what it's saying. This comes from him to us. Every spiritual blessing. I hope this message is an encouragement to you. It was to me, just putting it together. And if I just take a second on talking about encouragement, just a little story. We did last week's services. We did both of them. And then there was a baby dedication afterwards. I stuck around. Jim did everything. I was just here for just in case. But I got home a little bit late. My whole family was home. And I come through the door, and my daughter greets me like they tend to do. And she says, she greets me with a compliment sandwich. You know what a compliment sandwich is, right? You get the good news, and then there's some filler in the middle that ain't all that great, and then at the end you get another compliment, and it kind of makes you feel good. So I got one of them when I walked in the door. It was something like this: Dad, your message was good today. Well, thanks. It seemed like you were yelling at us the whole time. That was kind of my response. Okay. But your message was good. So I got the whole sandwich, and I sat there, and I pondered that for a sec. DJ come to my rescue, and he said, well, you know, that's just Dad. When he gets excited about something, he gets loud. So DJ knows who I am and how I am. And, you know, you get fired up, Casey, maybe once or twice a month. They get me every day. So pray for them. Pray for my kids. They know who I am. So I hope this message is uplifting. I hope in the words of Mr. Love, you don't feel like I'm yelling at you the whole time. But I do get passionate about this stuff. So I'll work on that moving forward. So this is every spiritual blessing. We must define what it isn't before we can define what it is. We have to kind of go in reverse on this. These are spiritual blessings, not earthly, not temporal. Okay? These have a supernatural feel to them. In fact, that's exactly what they are. And in reality, it sets us apart from other world religions if we define what it is and what it isn't. Other world religions have an emphasis on earthly or temporal blessings. They focus on that. And if you read what their promises are, especially in paradise, a lot of them have an earthly feel to them. Ours are not that way. They're certainly not. And matter of fact, you don't have to know a lot about Islam and to know what one of their promised land blessings are. If you're martyred through your faith in Islam, what are you promised? 72 virgins, right? You feel the earthly flavor of that? What kind of lost man in his natural state would desire that? You know what I'm saying? That's not a godly desire. So that these are different. It sets us apart from that. That if we know the wickedness of our hearts, we can realize how you could come to that conclusion. But these are spiritual blessings. These are God's design, and they're beautiful. This is all part of his incomprehensible redemption plan. These blessings are eternal. They're his plan, and they're perfect. They're beautiful. So I'm hoping it's an encouragement. God's designed this entity to pour out his spiritual blessings, and we call it the church, the big C church. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to church today. We're going to go and be a part of church today. Friends, you are the church. You are the church. This, he put you in place. These blessings are to the church. Okay? We'll emphasize on that a little bit more. And the reason I have to bring that up right now is because if you're not receiving the spiritual, or I'll rephrase that, you will not receive these spiritual blessings unless you're plugged in to a local body of believers. You will not receive these because that's who he's given them to. That's the entity or the organization that these work through. They work through the church. So you have to be involved. And you might think, well, Casey, show me that in scripture. I will. If you kind of know how Ephesians works, the first three chapters of Ephesians are like, given us our identity. This is who you are in Christ. You are a believer. You are one of mine. You are in the fold. You're in the family. It gives us all this overlay of what we should look like in Christ. And then the last three, chapters 4, 5, and 6, are like, now go to work. This is what you are to do. That's how Ephesians is set up. So if you go to chapter 4 of Ephesians, 4, 11 through 16, it kind of gives this view. What is the church? What is it designed for? What is this organization? And it gives a good picture here. It's Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I thought it was proper to stay in Ephesians because that's who he's addressing. So we'll go there and we'll see what it says. It says, and he himself, that's Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Okay, we'll stop right there. We would agree that God has chose these people to put them in path to establish his church. There's really no other reason for them other than for his church, to build his body. So he's doing that. He's calling these people for that reason, and we could say why. Why is he doing that? Well, verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, that's you guys, we're called this for this reason, to equip you to do the work of ministry. See that? To do the work of ministry. He's calling them. He's given us these spiritual blessings to bring together this body to do his work here on earth. It continues on. For the edifying of the body in Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's wonderful. We come together, we lead you, we instruct you, we build you together, you do the same to us, and we're all going towards this same goal, edifying and strengthening and building, all to become like Christ. That's a wonderful picture. It continues on. It doesn't stop there. We could say all this is going on, but for what? 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Another beautiful picture. Christ is the head of the church. We are the body. We all have this purpose. We work together, and it defines that. It actually says exactly what that is going on in verses 16. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint supplied, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. And this is causing growth of the body. That means the church, the big C church, is growing because every part is doing its share and it's edifying itself in love. That's what God's plan is. That's his body. That's his church. And he will not let that fail. Nothing will prevail over that. That will happen. And he wants us to be a part of that. So he pours out these spiritual blessings to make that happen. It's just a beautiful picture. And if you think about it, Paul is not writing to the city of Ephesus. He's not writing to the organizations. He's not writing to the industry. He's not talking to the government officials. Who is he writing to? Paul, to the church of Ephesus. He's writing to us, right? And he's writing to them. So this is a direction. In order to have every spiritual blessing, you must be involved in a local body. To wherever God has you. And we'll grow and we'll change and we'll move and you'll come in at different levels. It's an organization. It's growing. It's moving. It's special and it's unique. So on the lines of that, we will get every spiritual blessing now. It's not that you go get some today and some later and then another down the road. You get them all now. You get every spiritual blessing. When you're in Christ, you have them all. And as we unpack them, you'll see that. So Jesus chose us in him, that's Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Us who believe would freely believe on Jesus Christ and the grace given to us that we would receive every spiritual blessing. So let's list them. I'm going to move through them rather quick. This is kind of a lengthy message. I had no other way of doing it. So here we go. Verse 4. It says, we are holy and blameless in his sight. We kind of talked about that last week. Can anything unholy enter into God's presence? Nothing can, right? Think of Uzzah. Think of the cart. Think of the stumbling. He reached out. He touched the holy ark. Dead, right? Nothing unholy can come into God's presence. So that is a huge blessing. We are holy and blameless in his sight. So we can approach the throne today with assurance. We can come into his presence through the shed blood of Jesus. That's wonderful. And on our last day, we'll be ushered into his presence for all of eternity. we are holy and blameless in His sight. That's one of our blessings. If I mistake and say gift today, I apologize. I tend to do that. These are spiritual blessings, not gifts. So if I say gift, I'm sorry. I mean blessing. It goes on. We are free from condemnation. We live today with no fear of eternal separation. We have no fear of the wrath of God. We have no fear of hell. That's how we should be living, us in Christ. We should have that freedom, right? That is a spiritual blessing. Verse 5, we are sons and daughters of God, us who believe, predestined to adoption, the legal declaration or legal decree, we are His. We were bought with a price. This gives us our identity, so we know who we are in Christ. It is important to know who we are in Christ. That's how we should know how we should live. If we don't know who we are, we won't recognize the power we have in Christ, and we won't live according to His will. So that's a blessing. Verse 6, God's glorious grace given freely to us. This is a huge blessing. This is a universal one. We believe that this grace or this gift of grace is available to all, but not all will receive it. But those who do, us that are in Christ, and when we believe this, this is a blessing. It's God's grace. We sing of it. The amazing grace that God gives us. That is a spiritual blessing. Verse 7. Forgiveness of sins through the redemption of Jesus shed blood on the cross. We were bought with a price. I kind of highlighted this one. Not that one has more value than another. I think they're all super important. But this one has a special to it. All of our sins, past, present, and future, gone, forgiven. This is such a huge blessing. If we allow this to set in, this is the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, a sinful, hell-bound son of daughter of Adam being forgiven through God's grace, being brought into the fold of the family, the forgiveness of our sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. There's nothing you can do to earn this. This is a free gift. You can't be a good enough person. You can't belong to the right church. You can't go to the right denomination. You can't walk grandma across the road enough time. This is only through Jesus' shed blood, right? That's where this comes from. You cannot earn this. This is a free gift from God. And we live a life worthy of that calling today because of that gift, or because of that blessing, sorry. Told you I'd say it. But these are blessings, and that is a huge one. So that one's a good one to kind of just meditate on. Verses 8 and 9. We receive the wisdom of His great plan of redemption, and because of that, He reveals the mystery of His will to us. That one's kind of wordy, but just hang with me. We get to understand God's big plan. He puts it on our heart. He literally writes it on His heart. He comes into us, and He reveals that to us, His big plan. We understand His purpose towards men. We know what He's up to, and we get to see the blessing and offer this blessing to everyone. It breaks down boundaries, whether Jew or Greek, it would say, male or female, black or white, old or young. Nothing is separated by this. It all is united. And it's all to His good pleasure to reveal this towards us. Well, why? It's simply to equip us to go out and share this wonderful news. So we can go out and spread it. He gives it to us so we know it, so we can have confidence to tell the rest of the world what we're up to. That's a blessing. That's a huge blessing. And you might say, well, Casey, I don't think I'm called to be an evangelist. We are God's witness here on earth. If you're in the church, if you're in Christ, you are His witness. So I don't know if you have the actual gift of evangelism or not, but you're called to be His witness. That's what we're called to do. The church is the only organization on earth called to this purpose. Think about it. Think of Walmart. Think of your industries. Think of your anything around us. The Swans Man. Doesn't make any difference. Nobody is doing this except for the church. The church was designed for this. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful picture. We are all this special thing, this organization of the church, this is His, used by Him to glorify Him in everything that we do. Now, there's a negative to this one, because if we go out and we start living a life of sin and we say we're a part of that, we bring the name of God down. So there's a negative side to this. This one can work positive and negative, but that, there again, it's another blessing. Verse 10, we understand the ultimate purpose of God's plan now and what is to come. So that one kind of rides off the other one a little bit. But we know what is to come. We know God's not finished yet. We know we're in between the two Advents right now. He's came. We've celebrated Christmas. We're moving towards the Lenten season, which is the return and the resurrection. We're living between. The final coming back hasn't happened yet. We know that. He puts it on our heart. We're aware of that. So we live according to that, knowing that he's coming back for final judgment. So what do? Sit around? No, we get out there and we tell people about Jesus because we know the wrath is still to come, right? That's part of that. That's part of our blessing, to know that there is going to be a new heavens, a new earth, and the fulfillment of God's final redemption plan is still to come. These are all part of his spiritual blessing. Verses 11 and 12. We were predestined to be a part of this plan, to his good purpose and ultimately to his glory. Okay? Last week I said God can do this without us. He'll be glorified whether we glorify him or not. He doesn't need us for this, but he chose us for this. That is a blessing. He called us into a part of this to glorify him, to magnify him. That's a wonderful blessing. And even the scriptures will say, if we don't, the rocks will cry out to his. Even the creation screams of his glory, right? But he asks us to be a part of that. That's a blessing. That's encouragement to me. Verses 13 and 14. We heard the good news of the gospel message. We did. We've heard that message. We came to salvation to those who believe. And through God's grace, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit and the guarantee of our inheritance. That's a big one. Having the Spirit is a seal that we are ownership of his. We belong to him. The Spirit within us is evidence that we belong to Jesus. We are part of his family. We belong to God. He owns us. And it is a guarantee of full redemption. When he comes back, we're still part of that. We know that. It brings forth this full redemption idea. So we live in waiting and anticipation of that. And one day we'll be in his immediate presence. That's coming. So this is another blessing that points towards that. All who believe are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit and the future inheritance of his full glory. 13 and 14 explains that. So why did he bless us with every spiritual blessing? The answer is in verse 14, to the praise of his glory. That's it. That's why he's doing it. He will be glorified through all of these. As we receive these blessings, in return, he'll be glorified. That's why he's doing it. But Casey, this is a great list. How do we know this is every spiritual blessing? I'm glad you asked. I had to dig into this. This is great. Follow through this. There's one repeating statement that continues throughout this passage. It's in him. Mr. Love just read it. In him continues 9 times throughout this passage. It repeats this phrase or the equivalent. In him, in Christ, in the beloved, all the same thing. This is all in him. So without Jesus Christ, spiritual blessings don't exist. They're only through him. In fact, the idea of this idea of every spiritual blessing, catch this, is singular. Well, how is it every and singular at the same time? Jesus is every spiritual blessing. That's why you have it all today, because it's Jesus. He is every spiritual blessing. And if you take that list we just went through and line it up next to Jesus, you'll see he fulfills every one of them. And everyone that's in Scripture is fulfilled in him. It's singular. He is every spiritual blessing. So I could have made the list a lot shorter and I could have just started there, but that ain't what Ephesians said. So we had to go through that. So every spiritual blessing is in Christ. He is them. So what should our cry be? It should be, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Or like we just sang, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. And this hurts my heart to say it, but it's true. For so many, it's, I reject you, Jesus. I reject you. I'm not interested. I want to do it my own way. I don't want your way. I'm not interested in your blessings and your gifts. So that's a lot of our world. So we have work to do going forward. That basically defines our entire world. We fall into one of them 3 camps. When it comes to spiritual blessings, you either cry out and you thank him, or you praise him, or you ask for him, or you reject him. That's basically the world that defines us all. So if you know his Spirit witnesses with your spirit, back to Wesley and his quote, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That should be our response. And if you reject him, one day the wrath of the Almighty God will be poured out upon you for all of eternity. And my plea and my prayer is that you would repent, trust and turn and believe in him and run to him. Run after him with everything you got. One last thing, our application. And our application is very simple today. Forsake everything and run after Jesus. Forsake everything and chase him with all you got. None of this temporal stuff is all going away. Everything we have, everything we acquired, it's all gone away. Except our children, our kids, our youth. We can raise them up. We can disciple them. We can take them with us. If we would come alongside and disciple them and show them what this is all about. You only receive these blessings if you are in Christ. So that's what our main goal is, to let people know what it means to be in Christ, to follow him. And the church is called to do that. Spiritual blessings are much more valuable than earthly or temporal blessings. We get them too, but they're in no way comparison the same. Thank God we do get some of them, but that's not the focus point. The most valuable ones are our spiritual blessings because they're in Christ. And then to enjoy and strengthen these is through prayer. It's through prayer. That's how you magnify these blessings. You spend time seeking the throne. That holy and blameless coming before him in prayer, that's how this is strengthened and built upon. And that's supernatural, and it's the lens we should be seeing the world through. Jess and Jane, I'm going to invite you up for our closing song. I just found this message to be encouraging as I was putting it together. I just digging into it and studying it, I was very moved by it. And here's the reason. You all, there's just so many people in our body. Jim and I, we get phone calls all the time, emails, texts, Jim more so than I, but of these struggles you guys are going through, these hurts, these physical ailments, all these things you guys are going through. And listen to this. This is profound. No matter what is going on in your lives today, on this planet, on this earth, whatever you're dealing with, these spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessings, are unchanged by our earthly circumstance. So they're the same. And they help us get through them. They build us up. They strengthen us. They encourage us. So that's why I found it to be so encouraging. We never get away from these if we're in Christ. I thought that was just a wonderful truth. So I'm not sure when you'll have me up here next, but when we are, I'm looking towards heavenly realms or maybe Easter. We'll see how the calendar falls in. I was just encouraged by the message of every spiritual blessing and everyone through Christ. And no matter what our earthly circumstances are, we can turn to them, we can rejoice in them, just like the song just say, we can just rest and see Jesus with even more clearer vision of what's to come. And it's just, I just thought it was encouraging. I hope it was for you too. So let's just seek the Lord in prayer before we go out of here today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering of the body, Lord, to dive into the word, to sing songs and praise to you, Lord. Lord, I know there's some heaviness going on in this room and even online with some of the people watching that couldn't even be with us today because of life struggles and challenges, Lord. And there's just a lot of things. We look at our prayer focus. We see all the names on there. And Lord, even through all of that, you are every spiritual blessing. And we can rest assured. And with what lays in our heart, we can see what's to come. And we can have hope. We can have peace. We can have joy. And we can seek your love and your face coming through prayer. It's just a beautiful picture. So, Lord, we just thank you for all of that. Lord, move in our hearts and our souls as we go out from here to do your will in all of our lives, Lord, to your glory. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.